Well, good morning. Welcome to Trinity Alliance Church. It is so wonderful to see you all here today. My name's Jessie, and I'm so happy to welcome you all. I'm the associate pastor here, and we are so glad to have you. We want you to know there's a place for you here, and we are so glad that you came today. This is Advent, the time in the church year where we are expectantly waiting and looking forward to the coming of Jesus. We've had his first coming, and we are looking forward to his second coming and looking forward to the fullness of his kingdom on earth. This is always a time of year where there's a lot happening, and so there's a few things that I want to call your attention to. Of course, there's more events online on our website, tacreading.info, as well as in your bulletin. But the first thing that I want to let you know about is December 28th. And at the end of the month, we're going to have just one service. This is the service in between New Year's and Christmas. So please, we don't want to miss you. We'll just have one service at 10 in the morning. If you come at 9, if you come at 11:15, we might miss you. So please, join us at 10. And then moving a little bit more towards us, Christmas Eve service. You hopefully got an invitation card when you came in. If you didn't, or if you want more to invite more people, there's more in the fellowship hall, but that's to be able to invite your friends, your relatives, your acquaintances, your neighbors, your coworkers to come join us for our Christmas Eve service. Christmas Eve, of course, at 5. And then today is a very special day. We're excited for so much happening today. We have the installation of our new next-gen director, Joey Flores. That will be happening. Yay! In between our services, during what we call the table between, so when service is over, we hope that you'll pop on out to the fellowship hall, grab a snack, and come back in, and around 10:35 or so, Pastor Sean will lead us in the installation for our next gen director. But I want to let you know that, you know, Joey started this week and he's already set up a lot of things. And so if you are a parent or if you are a teen, please be sure to check out the Instagram page and other social media accounts that he's put out there. There's events on there. There's other ways to stay in touch and know what's happening, particularly the Christmas party and New Year's Eve party for our youth group. So that is where you want to go. But we are just so excited that Joey is going to do a great job creating a culture where our teens can enjoy Jesus, where they can rely more and more on the Bible, on prayer, and on the Holy Spirit, an environment where they can journey together with their church family and where they can grow in engaging their neighbor with the love of God, because that's what we're all doing here at Trinity Alliance. And so we're so excited to have Joey really lead our youth. And so then finally, as I said that this is Advent, this Sunday is the Sunday that we consider faith and that we think about our own faith journey, but we also consider the faithfulness of God to his promises. And so we have a lot that we're doing with that. You know, last week, Pastor Sean preached on hope, and Kathy shared her testimony, and this morning, Birdie, our intern, will be preaching on faith. And we have another TAC member who will be sharing his testimony, and we're really excited about that. We'll also be taking a moment to celebrate the Lord's Supper. And so I just want to give you a chance to prepare your hearts for that. But as we consider Advent and as we consider faith, I want to read from Luke 3, 4 through 6, which quotes Isaiah. And it says, "As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall become straight, and the rough places shall become level ways. All flesh shall see the salvation of God." And we are reminded that God kept his promise of a Savior born in the town of Bethlehem. From the beginning, when sin entered the world, God formed a rescue plan. He came as a man, as one of us. He was born to a humble couple, not a family of prestige and power. And so as I light this candle for hope and for faith, I guess the hope one's already lit, I invite you to just take a moment and quiet your heart with the Lord and consider his faithfulness to you and your faith journey. Thanks.
I'm Pastor Sean, glad to be here with you this morning, and glad to be the candle wax filler guy, and I get to do it all today, so that's amazing. You know, I can't wait for when we get to the eternal kingdom, when candles, oil candles, never run out of oil. Amen? It's going to be amazing, so good. We are going to move into communion now, and I just wanted to take a moment just to share a couple of thoughts. You know, especially sometimes people that haven't been a part of the church for very long, or maybe if you're younger or you're a kid and you're still kind of getting to figure out what is Jesus all about and what does it mean to be a Christian. Sometimes if you were to show up on a Sunday when a church is doing communion, it can maybe seem a bit confusing. What are we doing here? Why are we doing this? But communion is one of those important aspects of what it means to be a Christian. And it's important because the one who we worship, Jesus Christ, the second to last day while he was on earth, his second to last day the day before he goes to the cross, he met with his disciples. And he knew he was going to be going to the cross. He knew he was going to be crucified. He knew that he was going to be leaving his disciples. And these were some of the last words he was going to give them. And he wanted to make sure that they understood some important information. He wanted them to recognize that he was inviting them into a new relationship, a relationship with him. He was inviting them into community. He was inviting them to remember him and to join him. And as a result, Jesus then gave us this ordinance of the table, where he takes the bread and he breaks it and he takes the cup and he drinks it. And in a moment, I'll read the passage and the quotes that he spoke in those moments. But he did so in order to give the disciples a way to continue to remember him after he was gone, to give them a way to remember what he's invited them into, relationship, and to join him as he continues to build his kingdom. And so this morning, as we take communion, that's what we're doing. This is about remembering the one who we worship. It's about remembering his life that he lived, about remembering the sacrifice that he made. And it's about us being able to have an opportunity to join him in that intimate relationship, to join him, to know that we can actually know him. We can talk to him. We can interact with him. But also that we can see what he's doing. Even though he's not with us physically, spiritually, he is moving and he is building his kingdom. And he invites us through communion and through just our day-to-day lives to be able to join him in that. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul, one of his disciples, quotes what Jesus said at the table on that day. Paul writes it like this. He says, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" And then Paul goes on, he says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." May we remember Jesus. May we join Jesus. May we be in community with Jesus and with one another as we partake of communion this morning. We're an Alliance Church, which means that we practice open communion, which means that you don't have to be a member of an Alliance Church or this church in order to participate today. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then we invite you to participate in communion this morning. And the way we do communion is we'll have a couple of elders, one on each of these tables up at the front, and they will have the elements. And when you are ready, you can get up from your seat and you can go forward and take those elements and then return to your seat and take those elements when you are ready to take them. And we'll just have a little bit of music playing and then we'll go back into worship once it feels like most people are done with that. So just as far as logistics, maybe everyone could go to the outside wall and come that way to receive the elements and then return to your seats in the middle aisle. All right, sound good? Let me pray, and then we'll our elders will come forward, and you can come forward to receive the elements. Lord, we do thank you for your amazing sacrifice. Thank you that you love us so much, that you came and you lived among us. You showed us the way, what it means to be a follower of Jesus. But you also went to the cross and you gave your life for us. Lord, I just would encourage you and ask you this morning that you would allow us to remember you this morning. That we would hear your voice maybe once again, maybe the first time in a long time. That we would sense your presence with us this morning. And that as we reflect on who you are and what you've done for us, may we also sense the invitation into intimate relationship with you. Lord, we want to know you, we want to be close to you, and we want to join you in the things you're doing. So as we partake in communion today, may we remember you, may we be drawn into community with you, and may we join you in all that you're doing in building and strengthening your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, welcome. Come on in. Yeah, you can have a seat or you can stand in the back, whatever you want to do. That would be great. We are very excited to have Joey and Alyssa Flores joining us. This has been Joey's first week, and he has, he's been hard at work all week. He had his first staff meeting on Friday, and, you know, he knocked it out of the park. I mean, nobody else could even share anything because he had it all figured out. It was amazing. It was so good. No, it was really good. So excited to have Joey, excited for what the Lord's doing in him and through him. And I think just really excited to journey for the next season with this couple. And I think they fit our church and our first church culture so well. And so excited to have them. I think they're going to bless us, and I really do think we're going to bless them, and just excited to see how that all plays out over the coming years. So just wanted to say a few things, and I'm gonna wash their feet, and then Joey's going to share a little bit for a couple of minutes, and after that, we're going to invite you to come, and we're going to lay hands on Joey and Alyssa and just kind of pray over them and pray them in into the kingdom because they're not saved yet, and it's going to be great. No, but it's salvation and baptism.
What's Christianity?
Yeah. It's a new thing. Bertie preached all about it, didn't you? Weren't you listening? Good grief.
I was listening to the heavy metal music.
That was amazing. All right, so just a few things I just wanted to kind of like speak over, I think, Joey and Alyssa as they begin their ministry here. Just again, I'm very excited about them, but just as I was praying for them this week, these thoughts came to mind, and so I just say this. First of all, Joey and Alyssa, it's my prayer that you guys would come to know God more fully, and as you do, that you would then have the opportunity to make him more fully known as well. Certainly maybe a bit of a cliche, but to know God and to make him known. May that be something you guys experience in your ministry here. Second thing I had thought was that you would allow the joy of the Lord to be your strength. Right, that you guys already have a lot of joy in you, and I see that. We've laughed together already, and that's a beautiful thing. It's part of who we are, but may that continue to be your strength, especially when those times come and ministry gets hard or failure happens, and you're like going, oh, why did I do that, or why did I say that, or whatever. May you turn to joy in those times, and that would, renew you and refresh you. And then finally, my prayer is that Jesus would just continue to affirm you in your ministry and in your calling. I know we first had this conversation back several months ago now. That was one of the things you're exploring. I feel called to this, but I don't know. I don't know if this is really what God is inviting me into. And it's been fun to be in that process with you, and I think we're just beginning. But may I just pray that Jesus would continue to affirm who you are and who he's created you to be, and that he would continue to affirm that call that he's placed in your life to follow him in vocational ministry, in pastoral ministry, in order to shepherd his people. So may those things be true of you in your ministry time here. All right, you want to get your feet wet? Let's do it. All right. So as they take a seat and as they get their shoes off, this is actually something I've started to do a few years ago now. As a leader, right, I think we're surrounded in a culture, in our American culture, that demands that leaders rule with an iron fist, right? You know, demands leaders be those who are, you know, not just out front, but they are the ones telling everybody else what to do. And when we were going through our Upside Down Kingdom series in the Sermon on the Mount, one of the things that came out over and over again was this reality that in the kingdom of God, it's different than the world. And one of the ways that it's different is how we lead. And Jesus invites us to be servant leaders. And so I began to do foot washing for those who we hire, our new hires, because I wanted to have the symbolic expression, not just to these new hires and these new people that are a part of our community, for them to know that, that we love them and we're excited for them to be here, but also for me to be able to express to them my desire to serve them. They're not here to serve me. They're here to follow Jesus with me as I follow Jesus, but also I'm here to serve and to care for them, to help them as best I can to grow in their relationship with Jesus and in the ministry that God has called them into. And so this is just a symbolic sign of that. And so we're going to play a little Christmas music in the back, right? Maybe, I don't know, but we can sing another. We've got, where's Birdie? We need some music for heavy metal Christian while I wash their feet. So here we go.
It's weird to be footless or shoeless right now. When I was a kid, when I was in youth group myself, I felt this is what I want to do. This is what I'm a part of. This was so important to me. And I went to Simpson to study youth ministry and entered a youth group and served in that youth ministry for, so many years. Today feels surreal that... it feels like I'm remembering when I was a kid and I heard God say, "You love this, right? This is what you're gonna do," and it's amazing that now, so many years later, decades later, to get to walk into this ministry, to serve the students, the high schoolers who I'm gonna love immensely, to be able to be, to be a voice that's just trying to be the Holy Spirit to your students. That's what I'm here for. I'm so excited about that. And I'm very thankful for my wife, who has been just amazing in this. And it was, stepping from the secular industry, just working in the world, to coming and saying, hey, I feel called to pursue vocational ministry, Alyssa. And for her to support in that and say, if you need to quit your job, if you need to do what, you know, whatever it's going to take, I believe in you and I'm supporting you. And it's been amazing. So I'm so grateful. I'm so thankful to God for my wife. And I'm thankful for this opportunity. And I'm thankful, Sean, for this time. Thank you for, just trusting that we're here to serve and that God has us here for that purpose. So thank you.
So we're going to have you come down on the floor here so that we can get as many people around you as we can. If you know Joey, or even if you don't know him that well yet, especially I want my elders, any elders in the room, to come forward. And I would like us just to lay hands on this couple. And let's just pray for them. And I know Joey and Alyssa have some friends and family here as well. I'm thankful that they could make it today. And let's gather around them. If you want, you could even just stand where you're at and just kind of extend a hand. Sometimes that is how we do that when there's too many people around an individual. So that's what we're going to have to do today. If you can't actually reach Joey and Alyssa, just put a hand on somebody that's got a hand on them, and we'll make it work, right? So I'm going to ask, let's see, I'm not going to ask anybody to pray. If you feel led to pray, we don't need a mic, so let's just pray it out and speak words of life and prayers over this couple. Lord, I pray that both of these people would, these believers, these children of God, that they would grow in their confidence, not in their abilities, but in your ability to use them and to empower them to do what you've called them to do. Lord, I just thank you for them. Lord, I thank you that you have indeed invited them to follow you into this ministry, into this church. And Lord, I pray that you would just continue to have sweet encounters with them, and that you would continue to be evident to them, tangible to them, in new and wonderful ways. Lord, as they step into this position, may you anoint them both, Lord. Anoint them with your a fresh anointing of your Spirit, and that they would be able to walk in that, Lord, that they would begin to have perceptions and senses and understandings that they didn't have before, because your Holy Spirit is just working in them and giving them thoughts and giving them perspectives they needed to have in order to do the ministry well. We thank you for the love that you have for them. We thank you for the love that is so evident that comes through them. And Lord, I pray that you would help us as a church to love them well. May you be glorified in this church, in this couple, and in the ministry that happens here. May you continue to build your church here at Trinity Alliance, in Reading, in the United States, and around the globe, for your glory and for our blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 All right, you are free to interact, give hugs. We'll start our second service in about 15 minutes. See you back in here, those who are coming to second service.
Good morning, Trinity Alliance. It's good to be here. Thank you all for having me. Welcome to Joey's friends. We hope you're welcome here, and welcome to some of my friends here. Whoops, that's some feedback. Welcome to some of my friends, and welcome to anyone else who's new here. Welcome to those who are a bit more of old timers as well. You're all welcome here. My name is Bertie Wolski. Who am I, right? Yeah, so I'm a ministry intern here. So I'm taking some classes at Tozer Seminary at Simpson University, and doing my Master's of Divinity there. And this church has come alongside me and allowed me to get a lot of my credit just by doing things like this and doing life with you guys. I work with the youth a lot, so I'm happy to have Jay alongside me. And I work a lot with everyone on worship team and all the things in between. That's kind of what I do by night, right? I'm a ministry intern by night. By day, I work in student success at Simpson University. I help students succeed, right? So I have been the lead tutor there for the past year or so. And now, as of tomorrow, I'm going to be stepping into a new role there, a full-time position, kind of a move up. I'm going to be an advisor there. Really excited. It's thank you. Thank you. Yeah, so TRIO, I'm going to be working with TRIO, which is a government grant given to different universities to allow for better service to be given toward underserved individuals, those who are low income, disabled, first generation, really helping with student success and retention and helping them see their goals come alive, each individual student helping come alongside them to help them succeed in class, spiritually, career-wise. I'm really excited for this opportunity. And I'm also excited to be here today to talk to you guys about faith. A few last things about me. I'm a missionary kid, pastor's kid. My mom's Pastor Jesse. My parents spent upwards of 10, 15 years on the mission field, and that's where I grew up, right? France, Jordan, Germany, fun times. One last thing about me, right? I'm a big fan of heavy Christian music and heavy stuff, and I'm going to get us out of our comfort zone too, okay? So we're going to be putting up some lyrics on so you can follow along with some screaming. Don't worry, I'm not going to sing. I'm gonna make sure I'm connected here. Bink, that's the sound. And this song is gonna help frame some of what we're gonna be talking about today with faith and Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, okay? We ready to get those slides up? I don't know what they look like just yet. If they don't exist, that's okay. They don't exist, so we're just gonna try to interpret what he says, right? We're just gonna listen to a little bit of it, okay? Okay. Okay, whoo, it's done. Okay, yeah. What did he say? He said, essentially, can you not see what's happening to me? God, are you asleep? This is from a concept album by the band Meadows. They're a small Christian hardcore band, heavier than Skillet. That's probably the only metal band you guys know. These guys, Meadows, they wrote a concept album about Christ's Passion Week. Passion Week is when Jesus had his last week on earth before he went upon the cross and gave his life for us. I know we're in Advent, right? We don't want to talk about the cross just yet, but it's central to our faith. So our faith, right? That's what we're talking about today. And I hope that song helps frame some things for you guys on the questions of faith that come, the doubts we can feel in our Christian walk. If Jesus was able to say, God, are you asleep? Can you not see? But then in the end, he said, not my will, but yours be done. So can we say that thing, say that. So we're in our Woven series for Advent. Woven is kind of what we're using to characterize these ideas of hope, faith, joy, peace, and eventually love, these Advent character values. And these are traditionally what we have, there it is up there, as our Advent virtues. And what we're doing, me, Pastor Sean, Pastor Jesse, we're going to be tracing how the Old Testament, the New Testament, and modern day life all point to how the community of God, God's people, can characterize themselves with these traits. So today is faith. We started off with a bang, and we're gonna be talking about faith. Last week we talked about hope. We're gonna see. I have my Bible verses in my notes. So, Pastor Sean, can I hand this to you? It's in the way. Thank you. Uh-oh, the preacher is getting rid of the Bible. What's going on? Yeah, uh-oh. Don't worry, we're going to be in the Bible. We're going to be in Hebrews 11 and parts of 12 today. Is that a slide that exists, perhaps? Maybe. If you want to follow along, I'm reading from the ESV. We're just going to be reading parts of Hebrews 11 and 12. Today's sermon is going to focus on Moses, Jesus, and then we're going to have Uche. My brother in Christ, Uche, is going to share some of his faith journey as well. So from Hebrews 11, we see, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it, the people of old received their commendation. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he and endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover, sprinkled the blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. By faith the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land. But not the Egyptians. When they attempted to do the same, they were drowned. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, it's pretty foggy today, isn't it? Let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings on so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated now at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So I'm gonna spend some time in this chapter or two, and what we're gonna give some context to it, some literary and historical context here. And what's happening is the author of Hebrews, who knows who that guy is? Anyone want to give a guess? Nope. The author of Hebrews is writing to a congregation which he dearly loves, and it's applicable to us today. He sets up chapter 11 with these words from chapter 10. Naturally, that's kind of how words flow, right? You go to chapter 10, then 12. Chapter 10 to then 11. For you have need of endurance, the author writes, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. Chapter 10 then anticipates chapter 12. And I said that incorrectly that time, right? It anticipates chapter 12, which is our call to action. Kind of the big call of all of Hebrews is a call to steadfast endurance, to faith in God, and faithfulness to his people. This is the author's primary concern throughout the letter, and it comes to a climax in chapters 10, 11, and 12. My concern is the same for you all. I want us to persevere, to be steadfast in our endurance to faith in God and faithfulness to his people. What is faith? Faith is belief in who God is and what he has done. We see this in Hebrews 11, verse 1, that we have an assurance of things hoped for, a conviction of things not. No way, we have slides. Look at that. That's awesome. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. That means we can believe in God, what we know, who he is, and what he has done for us, even if we can't fully see it this side of eternity. We have assurance and conviction based upon our belief or our faith, and this leads to action. This is true of those who have gone before us. This is why the author of Hebrews puts in Hebrews 11 in between chapter 10, which says we aren't those who shrink back, and then chapter 12 says don't shrink back, essentially. Chapter 11 is kind of his version of a sermon, the author's version of a sermon, where he looks at the Old Testament and says, we can learn from 100 million Bible characters how to preserve our faith. This is a cloud of witnesses, and there is really something important and special about those who came before us. In America, we like to be self-made. We are our own person. We're very individualistic, and it's not just America. It's a lot of the West. Having lived in Jordan, I see kind of the opposite side of that, but we don't need to talk about that as much right now. In America, we like to think that we are in control of our destiny. We can seize, not the means of production, that's something else. We can seize whatever we want and make it happen, regardless of what people tell us, regardless of our situation. But what if we looked to those who went before us, our heritage? What if we looked to those who went before us, our history, and saw the value of those around us and from our past? There's something special about those that came before us, including, I want to illustrate this. For example, my buddy Jacob Green, he's a really great friend of mine. We graduated Simpson together. He's now the director of broadcasting at Simpson University. He's very creative. He loves sports. I don't as much. But he wrote, as a creative guy, he wrote this poem in an anthology that he recently published. You can check it out. Talk to him later. He wrote this poem about how his grandfather kind of set the scene, trailblazed a path for him. For when he was a kid, he grew up going to the Coliseum in Oakland. He would watch the Oakland A's athletics, the baseball team, right? They're going through a lot of stuff right now. And you can talk to him about that later, too. And he wrote this poem about how his grandfather gave him a love for sports that is now becoming kind of a career and a vocational calling for Jacob to be on the mic. And I would love to read this poem for you guys. It's quite short, but it really gives kind of this beautiful testimony to the importance of those who have gone before us. It may be up on the slides, but at this point, I don't even know. I know we haven't talked in a while. It's been so long since we caught a game. The last time I saw you there, you laid. The way you laughed, it was always so hard to tell how much you were in pain. As much as I miss you, I'm glad you're not suffering anymore. It's been too long since we talked, but there you lay, finally at rest. Lord knows, he just gave us all a test. Trials come and go, but he walks with me. Every time I think back, I can't help but smile and laugh. It's easier to do than cry. I hope one day we'll catch another game together and talk about the simpler things. I can't help but want to go back and tell myself what will be the last. But here we are, no more games. No more keeping score. If there's a game going on, I'd love to hear about it. Thanks for pushing me and believing in me. I love you and I miss you. If there's a game going on, I'd love to hear about it. That's I Love to Hear About It by Jacob Green. And it kind of demonstrates the path that his grandfather set for him and how he can look back to those times with his grandfather. Jacob's grandfather is in his cloud of witnesses. Similarly, the martyr, Stephen, in Acts, right before he's stoned to death, witnesses to God's work in history. He does this in Acts 7. I don't have a verse for it. This time it's on purpose. Stephen was encouraged by his own heritage as a Jew and seeing God's redemptive work through history, and he gave a very similar kind of homily or sermon that our author in Hebrews gives. And this sermon that he gives gets him killed, but it also brings him to see his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And right after he gives it, he sees heaven opened up. He sees Jesus at the right-hand side of God. And it's really beautiful. It's a testimony to our heritage. As Christians, we share in this heritage. I like that passage enough that me and some buddies, including Jacob, he's my bassist, we wrote a song about it. I won't play that song for you guys. Although we recorded it here at Trinity Alliance with the help of Bill Stake and some other guys. That was a really fun song to work on at Lion's Gate. It'll be on Spotify one day. We're going to get a better recording. I'm going to give one more example to illustrate to death the fact that those that came before us matter and set the example for us. My late pastor, Doug Swinburne, he went to Jordan to visit us when I was young, and I don't even think I remember, but I don't remember that detail. But later, when we were here on home assignment, he came to Risen King as the interim pastor. Our Risen King was going through a really hard time due to COVID. Finances were up and down, mainly down, and he didn't come in as a businessman changing everything or anything. He came in as a pastor who wanted to shepherd and care for his flock. And he did that to me specifically. He knew me as a youngster. He knew me as then a tall emo guy. That was 5 years ago me. And he really ministered to me. He saw me go from being on the fringes of the church to actively enjoying my relationship with Jesus. When he passed away suddenly from pancreatitis, It was a deep time of mourning, but I inherited his commentaries. They're just big series of thick books that reference work, right? Thankfully, they're reference work, so I don't need to read them front to cover. But they're around my room, around Lath's room too. So he has to look at them too. He gets to look at them, and it's just this beautiful testimony to those who have gone before us and set the path for us. So the cloud of witnesses, both in Hebrews and our own personal kind of cloud of witnesses, gives us an example of how to have steadfast endurance in our belief in God and what he has done. Moses was one of these superheroes of faith, right? He was in the cloud of witnesses list. This list is kind of like we're in Christmas, so I need to make it kind of Christmassy. We have a shopping list on Christmas, like things you circle that you want. I want this guy, I want this guy. Lots of commentaries actually call that this list of characters a catalog. Now, maybe we don't pick and choose the ones we want. They're all great models, but I figured that was kind of funny that we're in Christmas time, we're doing our Christmas shopping, and we have this fancy academic word, a catalog, that just means shopping list. By faith, we see that Moses did a lot of things, and it was by faith, right? In Hebrews 11, 23 through 29, we see that first Moses, by faith, was hidden. He was, before he even had any control over what he was doing, he was a baby, right? He was hidden. He was sent out into the Nile. And his parents took a leap of faith right there. They didn't know if they would ever see their son again, but they set him apart. It says they saw that he was beautiful and were not afraid of the king's edict. They kind of set him apart for a special purpose. And I think God's hand was in that. By faith, once Moses had grown up, he chose to be mistreated with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He identified with God's chosen people. He was faithful to God's chosen people, and that meant that he was faithful to God himself. He identified with God. He saw that the eternal reward in Christ was greater than any of Egypt's riches. I want to elaborate on a few things right there. Moses may not have known who Jesus Christ incarnate was the same way that we do, but he saw God's hand at work in saving, in building a kingdom. And Moses was one of these pioneers of faith. He didn't see the whole picture. This is where this faith comes in. He didn't know who Jesus Christ was fully, but the author of Hebrews is kind of able to interpret backwards and say, Moses had faith because he saw Christ coming. Also, Egypt, right? Egypt was the hub. It was where to be. It was on the Nile, and water meant a lot both then and now. We know that having come out of certain droughts in this region. And Moses gave up all the riches of being in Pharaoh's palace, understanding that, kind of looking ahead again, maybe he saw forward and saw. In 1 Corinthians, we see Paul writing, 1 Corinthians 1, we see that the strength of God is stronger than any, or sorry, the weakness of God is stronger than any human strength, and the foolishness of God is wiser than men. This is kind of the epitome of how Moses understood that God's plan was better than anything Egypt had to offer. Even if he didn't see all of that right at once, he must have had doubts. But while he was leaving Egypt, which he did by faith as well, perhaps he had doubts. I mean, in the Exodus, we read that he had fear. He was afraid of Moses. He was afraid of Pharaoh, excuse me. But in Hebrews, we see that he was not afraid. So what's going on here? Again, the author of Hebrews is interpreting backwards, saying he was able to endure. Moses was able to endure because he saw him who was invisible. He saw the burning bush. He saw the hand of God at play. And that is what he drew strength from as he spent his 40 years in the wilderness shepherding. He drew strength from this. By faith, he kept the Passover when he went back to to let God's people go. This Passover set the Israelites apart. The Passover, like, literally set them apart because, I mean, do you guys have blood on your doorways? I'd probably hope not. Neither did the Egyptians. This set them apart physically and spiritually. And on the note of spiritual stuff, the Passover really anticipates the coming Passover Lamb of Jesus, who we'll be talking more about soon. By faith, the Israelites with Moses crossed the Red Sea. This is something that would have taken a lot of faith, whether or not it's the Sea of Reeds or the Red Sea or textual translations and stuff. Any body of water in that time and even now is wild and chaotic. It cannot be controlled, but God can control that water, even if they can't see that. And they saw it, though. When they saw the Red Sea parted, the Israelites were able to cross, but the Egyptians couldn't. The Egyptians did not have faith. I want to play a little bit of another song for you guys, and it's from this song called Red Sea by Theocracy. And it really helps kind of give some illustration to the whole drama of this part of scripture, right? So as I cue this up, enjoy the chugging guitars that sound like the horses running after them, right? So here we go. Yeah, there we go. So that is Christian power metal. It exists. Instead of dragons and witches and stuff, it is the Red Sea. And that song is 19 minutes long. Be glad I didn't play the whole 19-minute long song for you. Yeah, so I really like that last line there. Unto the chosen, God is a life-giving pyre. That's just a fancy way that to say fire, a life-giving fire. But God is a God of confusion unto the blind, the Egyptians. The Israelites saw what was unseen. They had faith and were able to cross the Red Sea. Later in the song, there's this beautiful musical imagery of the drums and crashing and stuff that shows the sound of the Red Sea crashing in over the Egyptians who had no faith. They were blind. The author of Hebrews follows on and elaborates. And we see that in chapter 12, the Israelites were treading through the Red Sea. Sorry, like the Israelites treading through the Red Sea, we must run our own race. And we do this by looking to Jesus. Through the cross, Jesus founded and perfected our faith. But even before the cross, we see in Matthew 26, Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. This is almost as low of a point as the cross itself was for Jesus. He was sweating blood for us. He showed faith in God and faithfulness to his people when he prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Through this prayer, he showed faith in God and faithfulness to his people. In a sense, Jesus did see what was going to happen. He knew he was about to be betrayed, whipped, mocked, given a Roman execution. And he knew all this, and it made him weary, faint-hearted, perhaps. But he did this. He endured this hostility against himself so that we may not grow weary or faint-hearted. He took our sin and trampled upon death on the cross. He had heavy eyes so that we don't have to. The first song I played was called Heavy Eyes. And again, it's from this concept album about Christ's passion. And that song is about Jesus in Gethsemane. But that song goes on, and so does the testimony of Scripture, and shows that with Jesus' steadfast endurance, he had belief in God and love for his people. And this all came together because of his faith. He was faithful to God and faithful to his people. There are times when we may be in the face of enduring hostility for our own faith. I know my brother Uche, who's going to be coming up here to share soon. You ready? Yeah? You can start coming up. Yeah. My brother in Christ Uche risked perhaps some hostility in the workplace in the testimony you're about to hear from him of a testimony of faith. I think Pastor Sean is getting you a mic. So I'm going to stall. I could play you another bit of a song. Just kidding. We're going to have Uche come up and share a testimony, of a beautiful testimony of his faith in the workplace. Thanks, Uche.
Thank you. So my name is Uche Ajero, and my wife and my two kids have been coming here now for a little over 2.5 years, and we appreciate you guys welcoming us with open arms and making us feel at home here so much that this place has become our home. So we thank you. My testimony this morning is not about my faith. I wish it was, but it's about God supplying faith to those he's saving, that he is still in the business of saving lives all by himself, not by any one of us. So I'm a realtor by profession. I got my real estate license almost 11 years now, and I've been with my broker for about 11 years, almost 11 years. I like to say 11, but not quite. And within this time, I've grown closer to most of the agents in the office. I've also gotten closer to one of the agents over time as we would drive in his truck while looking at properties around Redding and Shasta County. And during those times, we will talk about the Bible, about Christ. And he even heard my testimony at least once, maybe more than once. I also shared with him the million-dollar question that brought me to Christ, which is sitting in my room one day and thinking about life. And then I asked myself, Uche, what if you die today and meet the Lord? And he asks you, what did you do with the life I had given you? What will you say? I was like, I don't know. I can't say anything. I'm just going to say, well, I've been busy chasing life, you know, trying to live good life, chasing money, and I'm going to hell. And because I knew that there was hell and there was heaven. So that was how I knelt down right there in my room and said, God, you know, I need you. He heard that, and I shared the four spiritual laws with him, and he prayed the acceptance prayer. I led him to the Lord. Well, it didn't happen quite that way. I wish it happened, but it didn't. Rather, the Lord supplied him with the measure of faith that he needed. And a few years later, he told me he was, while we were riding again in the truck, he told me he had started reading the Bible because he wanted to know more about the Bible. He had been to some places in the Middle East, and those places are in the Bible, so he wants to know about those places. He also would like to know more about, you know, why the Bible gets a bad rap. And he also wanted to know kind of if he was going to argue about the Bible or argue with Christians, he wants to know what they actually believe in, which I encouraged him to do so. And I told him I'm available, that he could come to me with any questions that he would get from reading the Bible, which there were times we did, you know, talk about what he's read, especially in the Old Testament, because, and I said, you could start from where else the Gospel of John, right? He said, no, he was starting from Genesis. I said, okay. So we had some good discussions about that. And then one day this year, a few months ago, we were going to the Board of Realtors meeting from my office, and he told me he had been really reading the Bible and also watching The Chosen. So we drove to the meeting, and all we talked about was the Bible, Christ, and The Chosen. And after the meeting, we got back in, and as we got back in the car, I was thinking, I wanted to talk about that meeting, the things that were discussed in that meeting. Oh, no, he wanted to talk about the Bible, Christ, and The Chosen. And we talked about it until we got to the office. He came to my office, and we started talking about what we were talking about. And then he brought his breakfast, sat there. I was like, okay, we're going to have a good discussion. And for 1 hour, we talked about Christ, the Bible. And at the end of our discussion that morning, he told me he believes in God. And he didn't know how anybody could read the Bible and not believe in Christ. I was like, praise the Lord. Then a couple weeks later, I asked him, are you... Oh, by the way, before this time, even as I had shared my testimony, I thought he was the last person that would come to the Lord. Even though I had been praying for everybody in the office that the Lord will touch them, but I was like, he's a young man. He's got everything going. He's a morally good person, loved by everybody. And yeah, he's the last person that would actually need the Lord. Anyway, so a couple weeks later, when I approached him, I told him, hey, would you like to start reading the Bible? We could meet in the office and read the Bible once a week. I was also expecting an excuse that he's busy, which he is. He's a busy person. And so I was expecting, I'm actually busy. So, but to my surprise, he said yes. So now we have Bible study in the office every Monday morning. And another great thing is he's also been talking to people about the Bible. He doesn't understand why people can go to church and believe in Christ and still don't know their Bible. Yeah. You know, he doesn't understand that. I said, I agree with you. So keep praying. Pray for him that the Lord will use him, because I see him as a person on fire that the Lord will use, not just in the office. He's already invited two people to the Bible study. One is one of our colleagues there, and one of his best friends as well. And I'm also praying that they would attend. They've said yes, excited, but they haven't started coming yet. Not to take your whole time. Lesson I've learned from this is that the Lord, that we cannot give up praying for those in our lives. I know some of us have family members, friends, colleagues, and on people that we've been praying for. It could take 10 years, it could take 25 years, no matter how long it will take, the Lord is still in the business of saving lives, and he will do it at his own time. And also that our purpose, each one of us, our purpose is to live out our faith wherever the Lord has placed us. We may not see the result, but we keep living out our faith. We keep preaching the gospel always, and when necessary, use words according to St. Francis of Assisi. Yes, keep praying for him, and thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, Uche, for that, sharing that testimony of how the Lord supplied faith to you and your brothers at the broker. As the worship team comes up, I'm going to wrap up with some concluding thoughts. First of all, I want to reflect some on Uche's testimony here. I imagine there was potential stigma at work and even personal doubts and questions that he was wrestling with as he opened up more. I mean, it's a bit hard to just be open and share your testimony and your faith in the workplace when we're supposed to have a division between that which is sacred and secular. But God has definitely rewarded Uche's faithfulness to God's people. And we see that in his coworkers' continued interest and love for God. We see that more people are being invited. And Uche has been reminded that God is still in the business of saving souls. So thank you, Uche, for your steadfast endurance with commitment to God and his people, for your steadfast endurance with belief in God and his people. Uche, Jesus, and Moses all point to this steadfast endurance. And the point is faith. We have endurance in our faith, and faith supplies our endurance. We can have faith in God and what he has done by believing in God and loving his people. And some ways we can do that, and I want you to be thinking of other ways, and ways that those who have gone before you have done this for you, have shown you the way. We have faith in God and what he has done when we believe in God, when we sing songs expressing our belief in God, songs of worship, including the stuff I was playing. That's worship, I see it as. We believe in God when we love his people, and we can do that by enjoying fellowship with them, which we'll be doing later today. I hope you join us for the table in between and after service. We put our faith in God and indeed are faithful to one another when we partake in communion, which we've done today. I want you to reflect on other ways that you can be faithful to God and faithful to his people as we enjoy a few last songs and sing praises to God. Thank you all.
Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your amazing goodness. We thank you for your love. We thank you for the examples of faith that you have given us throughout the generations. Lord, we thank you for that great cloud of witnesses that continues to watch us, excited to see how we express faith. And Lord, we ask that you would help us in our desire to express faith, to put our trust in you, to follow you, to believe you, and help us to know you as we do so. So we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this service that we've had. May you be glorified in all that we do, in all that we say, and may you continue to develop in us a deep faith and trust in you. May we live like Paul lived and so many who have lived before us, who have been crucified with Christ and who no longer live, but Christ who lives in us. And the life we now live in the flesh, we live by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. In Jesus' name, amen.